You ladies have messed me up. I'm trying to pull it together. I mean that in the kindest way. Wasn't that worship beautiful this morning? I am so blessed by all of you, and the presence of the Lord is here. And as you gathered in this room and as we started to pray and to sing and to worship the Lord, His presence was here. And I could just feel the prayers surrounding me. And just in this room and surrounding you. And it was just so incredible. And I just didn't want it to stop. And we were singing one of the songs. I'm human too. Thank you. We were singing one of the songs, "Bless the Lord, O My Soul." And there's a saint from our territory who very quickly last year went to be with the Lord. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, my goodness. And that was her favorite chorus. And as we were singing it, I wasn't really thinking about her. Sorry, Grandma Kelly. Faithful servant of the Lord. And she started this prayer group, and she called it after the books. I don't know if you've heard of them, Yada Yada Prayer Group. And she started it in our corps, and she got many of the women in our corps together of different ages to pray. And we used to sit in these little prayer meetings, and she would sing that, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and let all that has been within me rejoice." And as we were singing it, all of a sudden, I just felt her presence. And I heard her voice. And I thought, "Hello, Grandma Kelly. You're with me. You're with me here." And I thought, well, maybe that's why I was thinking about my grandmother so much yesterday. And I felt her presence and how she's with me here. And this is what I want to say at the very beginning, and it's actually what we're going to be looking at as we go into Revelation. And it's that part of the Lord's Prayer that says, "On earth as it is in heaven." On earth as it is in heaven. And how our prayers are eternal. And so it's from one generation, which was mentioned earlier, from one generation to the next, on earth as it is in heaven. And as we sing those songs of old, and as we recite those scriptures, and as we pray, and as we worship, it is on earth as it is in heaven, because that is what they're doing there. They are saying before the throne of God, "Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And as we sing hallelujah, they're singing hallelujah, and it's on earth as it is in heaven. And as I'm singing here in Australia at Collaroy, far, far away from my own home, and I'm singing, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless your holy name," Grandma Kelly in heaven is singing with me on earth as it is in heaven. And my grandmother is singing with me as I am singing on earth. She is singing it and praising Him in heaven, because our prayers and our worship is eternal. It's eternal. Revelation 8 starts off with, "When He opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour." And I don't know what silence on earth often is, but I wonder what silence in heaven sounds like. And then the revelation goes on to say in verse 2, "And as I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and the seven trumpets were given them." Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar, and he was given much incense to offer, and with the prayers of all God's people on the golden altar before the throne. We also read in Revelation chapter 5, each had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And as we just sang so beautifully, the song that was taken from Psalm 141, verse 2, may my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like an evening sacrifice. Our prayers are in these bowls. They're like incense, smoke rising up to heaven. And they are before the throne of God. They are before the throne of God. Our prayers. We are the saints here on earth, whether you like the title or not. Whether you consider yourself one or not. I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and the seven trumpets were given to them. And this was after the silence in heaven for about a half an hour. And it is on earth as it is in heaven. If you turn back into the Old Testament to look at Joshua and the Battle of Jericho, we see a reflection of what is happening on earth, of what is happening in heaven on earth. In Joshua, and I know I'm making you jump all over this morning, but in Joshua chapter 6, when the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands. And at this moment, the walls had not come down. It was a word given before the walls had come down. The Lord said, I have given you Jericho into your hands. And yet when they opened their eyes and looked before them, the wall was still there. Do you hear that word? The word was given that it was delivered into their hands before the walls came down. There's a word for someone here. The word was given in advance. And the instruction that was given to Joshua was this: march around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have seven priests carry trumpets of ram horns in front of the ark, and on the seventh day, march around the city 7 times with the priest blowing the trumpets. And when you hear them sound the long blast of the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse, and the army will go up and everyone straight in. Now, the similarity here into Revelation is this, that when they walked around for the first 6 times, they were to walk around in silence. And in Revelation chapter 8, we see that when the seventh seal is open, there was silence in the heavens for about a half an hour. And then the Revelation says, I saw seven angels who stood before God with seven trumpets. And when Joshua was given the instruction of what to do to bring the wall down, what was he told? Seven priests carrying seven trumpets. And so it is on earth as it is in heaven. And they marched around in silence as it was in heaven. Silence. And then the loud shout. And the walls came down and the army went straight in. The Lord sometimes gives us a promise before it actually happens, and he tells us, I have given this to you, I have handed this over to you, and yet all we can see is the wall before us. I am an answer to prayer. My very presence here is an answer to prayers. The fact that I have accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and that His Spirit is living and working in me is an answer to prayer. I was a rebellious child. I'm sure you can't even imagine that. I'm sure I just seemed like I was just always so just saintly. But I was a rebellious child. And there came a point in my rebellion in about my 18 years of my life, where wherever my father went, he would tell people to pray for me. Which as an officer's child is very disconcerting when you go to a public event. And people come up to greet you and they say, oh, Carol, we haven't seen you in quite some time because I wasn't going to church. And they're like, it was so good to see you. Your father told us to pray for you. About after the 12th person, I'm thinking, I'm going to hurt him. What is he telling everybody? Why does he have everybody praying for me? I was so angered by his prayer. Do you know people like that? That you tell them that you've prayed for them and they become angry about that. And it's because the Spirit was doing something in my life. He had, and this is the honest truth, and I can, my witness in your country to the truth of this testimony is Janet Munn. When Janet Munn was a cadet in training in our territory, her and Rick, she was part of one of the prayer meetings where they were praying for my salvation and for me to come back to the Lord because my father even had the cadets praying for me. And the man had everybody praying for me. So I myself am an answer to prayer. How many in this room know for a fact that someone prayed for you? That you have accepted Jesus Christ, or you go to church, or you are even here this weekend because of the prayer of someone else. Someone has prayed for you. Now, I would even venture to say that some of you who didn't raise your hand, that you are just not aware that there are people who have prayed you into this place and that you are here for a purpose and for a reason. When I was ministering in Eastern Europe and I was part of the training school staff there, they had about 40 cadets from the 5 different territories. And there was a moment when we were standing together and the question was put out to them, as most of them were in their 30s. And they had had other lives and businesses and things that they had left behind to come in to become Salvation Army officers. And they were raised pretty much in communism. There wasn't the freedom of religion in those days. And when they were very young, communism was what they were taught. And so it was asked to them, how did you come to know Christ as your personal savior? Like, what got you here to be a cadet in the Salvation Army? And as we went around to each of those 40 cadets, all of them spoke, except for maybe one or two, more than 98% of them said their grandmothers prayed for them. Their grandmothers never stopped praying. They didn't care what the government was saying. They were women of prayer. Their grandmothers prayed for them. Do you hear that? One generation to the next. So when the Lord opened up the doors in Eastern Europe and communism went out, the harvest field that was ready because of the prayers of the grandmothers. They prayed without ceasing. And that's where the Spirit went. The Spirit went among those fields and pulled out those who would be sensitive to the Spirit because the generation before had prayed for them. There's a book written by Mark Batterson, and in it it's called Circle Maker, and it talks about writing people's names down, and he says, you know, circling them. And there's no magic in that or anything like that, but it's kind of like going around the wall of Jericho, circling, praying, believing, praying without ceasing, not giving up. And he tells a story. I'm probably going to butcher it, so if you go get the book or if you've read it, forgive me. You'll get the general essence of the story. It's true. There was a woman in this story that they talk about who she had 10 to 12 children. She had a lot of kids. And she was a woman of prayer, and she prayed for each of her children every day. And her children testified that every morning they would see their mother on her knees praying for them. And every night they would see their mother on their prayer, and they could hear as they went past her room their voice being spoken before the throne of God, because that's the kind of woman that she was. And through her lifetime, she had the privilege of seeing all of her children come to know Christ as their personal Savior, except for one. Her oldest son, who did not accept Christ in her lifetime. She went to be with the Lord, and as testimony goes, his own testimony, he was much later in years. He was in his 70s, and there was a neighbor that had noticed he was alone and was being nice to him, and that family invited him to the local church with them to a Christmas concert, where the child, the next door neighbor's child, was going to be in the concert. And they invited him along. And he said to them, "Oh, I haven't been in church in years. I haven't been in church in years." And they're like, "Oh, it's okay. You should come. You should come." And because they built that relationship, he went with them. And he sat in this pew in this church, and the music from the organ started to play. And the man wept and wept and wept. And they didn't know what to do. And the neighbor came and walked back slowly in the silence and the solemnness of the whole entire moment, not sure if she should pry or not. And finally she said, Are you okay? Is there anything that I can do?" And he said, such a tender heart this morning. He said, "I could hear my mother. As soon as I walked in the door, I could hear my mother's voice. I could hear her praying for me. I could hear her prayers. I could hear her singing. And I could hear my mother." The man was in his 70s. His mother had been long gone. And the neighbor led him to Christ. Our prayers are eternal. Our prayers are in those bowls of incense that are there before the throne of God. And hear me when I say this. Sometimes we give up too soon. Think of those prayers that you have prayed that you have gotten tired of praying. I feel like I'm saying the same thing to you, Lord, all the time. You know what it is. I'm not even going to bring it to you anymore. Or we've prayed and prayed and prayed, and it doesn't seem like the wall is coming down. We've marched around and around and around, and all we get is the silence from heaven. Because the trumpets have not yet been blown. But this is what I want to tell you, and I know that you probably have seen this before. Each of our prayers in those bowl of incense is like a drop of water in this glass. And in one season, you might be praying and praying, and it's the consistency of your prayers and prayers. And the bowl of incense, that bowl before the throne of God, our prayers are there, and they are being filled up, and we get tired, and we stop, and it sits there. I don't know if you can see from the distance, but it's not far from the top. And then we get encouraged and we go to one of these women weekends or something like that. And we think, "I need to pray more. I need to take up the mantle of that prayer again. Lord, fan the flame in my heart." And we start to pray again, and we pray and we pray, and we don't see the results. All we see is the wall before us. And the wall of Jericho that was promised to come down has not yet come down. And we're thinking, why are we such silly people to be walking around this wall? Who came up with this idea? I mean, think about it, really. Joshua, that was a lot of faith to go. Can you imagine trying to be Joshua to tell all these people, "Okay, here's the game plan. We're not going to take any weapons, anything like that. We're going to march around in silence." Can you imagine everybody looking at him like, I mean, come on. In reality, when our leaders give us instructions, even if they are sane instructions, there's people, groups of us who go, "I'm not really sure that's the best way to go." So I'm sure for Joshua, it was the same as well. I'm sure he was out there saying, "Okay, well, I met with an angel. And he told me that the game plan is to walk around the city 6 times and say nothing. Then on the 7th time, we're all going to shout and blow trumpets, and then we win. Take a step back, because the wall's going to come down. It's all going to be good." Can you imagine the faith of the people to actually get behind Joshua and to follow him along in that? And I think, you know, we said this earlier, cut yourself some slack. There are times When we're just tired of filling that up, we're thinking, this is ridiculous. I'm marching around in circles. I'm not getting anywhere. I'm not getting anywhere with this prayer. But the Lord tells us to pray, and he's been saying it a lot this morning, without ceasing. And we keep praying, and we keep praying, and I don't want to get everything wet here, but I'm going to. And you know what? Sometimes, I'm sorry, Jan, I hope this isn't going to upset you. And we keep praying and praying, and we get it right to the ridge, and then something distracts us, so we stop, or Satan, the enemy, or even our own mind, we're sometimes our worst enemy, keeps us from that one last prayer that just brings the overflow and pours out when the trumpets blow and the victory comes and the walls come down. We need to pray without ceasing. My father had everyone praying, and then there was the day when his prayers were answered. And there is a day when the wall is going to come down and our prayers are going to be answered on earth as it is in heaven. But those prayers are before the Lord. And I want you to hear this. When that bowl of incense is before the throne of God, our prayers are eternal. Our prayers are eternal. They live beyond us. Like the woman I mentioned earlier, her prayers for her son's salvation, she never saw it. She died before it came into fulfillment, but her prayers lived on beyond her. They were eternal. Hear that. Your prayers live past you. They're eternal. Even if you do not see the fulfillment of the prayers you have prayed, they are before the throne of God. They live past you. Just like the prayers of the grandmothers across Eastern Europe, their prayers lived past them. The prayers that went before the Lord were in that bowl, and in the right time, in God's time, it gets poured over to overflowing. Amen? I have a very dear friend. She is a session mate of mine. Ambassadors of Christ. Yes, for Christ. Anyone in the room? Yes. Yay. Hallelujah. Very, very dear friend. And like I said, we're session mates. And I asked her if I could share this story with you, because I was telling her about what I was speaking on this while I was going to be here. And she shared with me her testimony about her mother. Her mother died around when she was 17 or 18, and she has a brother and three older sisters. And there was 20 years between her oldest sister and herself. Her sister called home and said, "Mom, I'm engaged." And her mom said, "I'm pregnant." And her, what? So there was a big age difference there. And so she was the youngest, and she was home when her mother, everybody else had kind of gone on. The older family went on, and she was home when her mother passed away. And her father was not saved. Her mother prayed for her father's salvation every day of her life. Her mother was such a faithful soul, and all of her children really followed in her footsteps. But their father was a handful. He was not, he just never came to accept the Lord in her lifetime, and she prayed for him and prayed for him. And on his deathbed, my friend Barbara said to me, we all gathered, my sisters, my brother, we're all standing around, and we have this officer who, retired officer who came, and he sat next to my father, and he led him through the prayer of salvation. And he did it in such a way to make sure, she said, that we knew that our father was going to enter heaven and that he truly understood what he was doing. And she goes, and so my father had this deathbed conversion and accepted Christ. And she said, and I was angry. My sisters were happy. My brother was happy. They're like, oh, thank you, Lord. We know our father's going to be in heaven. And she says, and I went home angry. I thought, how unfair was that? That he could treat my mother that way all those years. That he was as rotten as he could be to each of us. And yet, at the very last moment, he gets to get into heaven and be with her after she had been so faithful. And she goes, it kind of ruined heaven for me. So she's got a good sense of humor. She goes, it kind of ruined heaven for me. Because I thought if he's going to be there, I'm not sure I want to go. They're just letting anybody in. And she said, I couldn't really share it even with my sisters because they were happy. And she says, I struggled with it for about a week or something. And I kept going to the Lord. And one night, the Lord just woke me up in my bed, and I sat straight up, and my husband was like, what's going on? And she goes, the Lord just spoke to me. And he goes, well, what did he say? And she said, the Lord has told me that the man who I'm going to meet in heaven is going to be the father that I have always wanted, because he will be in his perfected state. He will be the way that he was meant to be, in the fullness of Christ. And then he gave me a vision of my mother being the one to greet him. And she said, and I sat in my bed and I wept. And I thought, my mother, my anger was because I thought my mother didn't even, how dare you answer it after she died? She didn't even get to see the fulfillment of her prayers. And the Lord showed me that she did. She saw it. She saw it in heaven as he walked through the door. She went, there are my prayers being answered. You will see your prayers. Sometimes we think on earth as it is in heaven, and we think, well, I'm not going to pray for it if I'm not going to see it. I want to see it, Lord. I want to see it now. I want to see it in my lifetime. You will see it. You will see it with the same eyes that you're looking through today. We get the new heavenly bodies, but the Lord will make sure. That's why we're praising and praising and praising, because the answers to our prayers are going to be poured out on us so much we won't know what to do with ourselves but to praise him on earth as it is in heaven. And that is why worship is warfare. That is why worship is so important here, because when we worship here and we are praising him and we are praying without ceasing, we are a mirror image joining in with heaven. We are reflecting what they are doing on earth as it is in heaven. Our prayers are eternal. And so as we end this weekend in this place, that I have heard testimonies that not just this weekend, but that this is a place that God has used to answer prayer before. Amongst the youth, amongst adults, that this has been a place through the generations, from one generation to the next, where the Lord has met with us here. And there are saints, the saints who have gone before us, who were in this room, the heavenly cloud, right? Of witnesses that are around us, that are speaking to us, that are saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And I know that there are people in this room today who need prayer. And I know that there are people in this room today who need to remember that they might just be a drop away from overflow. And I know that there are people in this room whose hearts are burdened for family members, and they're tired. They're weary of doing good. They're tired of saying their name before the Lord. They think they're pestering him. And today I want to tell you, pester away. Your prayers are being gathered before the throne of God, and there is a purpose to that. It is not without a purpose. It is not in vain. Your prayers for your children, your prayers for your grandchildren, the prayers for your nation or for your core or for those who you are mentoring are not in vain. Our prayers are eternal and they live past us. And we're going to take time this morning to pray, to come before the Lord and to just spend that time so that it will be said here on earth as it is in heaven. Let us not be silent. Let our voices be the trumpets that sound, because we've already marched around the walls and we want to see them come down. Do not let anything hinder your spirit this morning. No fear of man. No fear of what people will say or think, but let us come with boldness before the throne of God. For this is a time he has given to us, and the call is to prayer. So whether it's for yourself or for someone else, how beautiful would that be to know that your child or your grandchild someday will hear your voice singing the praises of the Lord through time and space, because that seed has been planted in their heart. Be faithful. Pray, pray, pray. My daughter has a song that she's going to sing, and it's an old army. Well, not that old. At one point, it wasn't old at all. But interestingly enough, when I told her that this is the song that I wanted us to sing during this time of reflection, and please, even while she's singing, it's not a concert. It's our time to really be before the Lord as she's singing. Come to the place of prayer if the Lord is leading you that way, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you like that. If he's telling you to pray with somebody, go pray with somebody, pray over someone. Kneel, stand, sit, do with the Holy Spirit. Be obedient to God this morning. Be obedient to him. My daughter did not know this song, that'll tell you. But from one generation to the next, she knows it now. She knows it now. And we need to pass down our faith. We need to pass down our prayers. I want them, even long after I'm gone, to sing a song and to be able to hear my voice, to know that in heaven I'm singing with them, on earth as it is in heaven.